Capes and Commentaries podcast. Tyler Baker here and Nathan Kennedy, and we're here going to stretch our wings a little bit and head down to the sewers, because we've always said we're not just going to do superhero stuff, even though what we're doing today is comic book related. So we're just going to spread it out a little bit and talk about another series that both of us, me and Nathan, both grew up on very passionately, is on the first episode of Turtles, Turtle Tracks from the 80s.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Sure.
Is that your Christian Slater impression?
It's pretty bad.
I figure that might be what you're doing. Yeah. If you haven't seen The Wizard, then you won't know what he's talking about. But yeah, we're here to talk about the first episode, Turtle Tracks, which was the first episode I ever saw as a kid from Christmas 88. Came on a VHS with Raph with the first two episodes, so that's what I watched religiously for many years, and still remains to be my top two episodes because of that.
See, that's interesting, because for me, I have no recollection of that being one of the first episodes that I watched. I couldn't even tell you what exactly the first episode that I watched was, because surely it was one that I caught on TV, because I didn't obtain VHS tapes from that show until the Burger King releases.
Oh, yes. So I mean, for a lot of people, it may have been the toys with an introduction to the cartoon, whereas me, it was one package with Raph and the first two episodes. That was my introduction. Were the toys the introduction for you, or and along with catching it with the cartoon simultaneously? Or
yeah, I would say that kind of came hand in hand. I would say that it was probably catching the show on Saturday morning and then going out to the store and seeing the toys. So I'm pretty sure it definitely went hand in hand. I honestly could not, and I hate to say it, but I can't remember. I don't have a vivid memory of like that first interaction with it, but I feel pretty certain it was just that, and then it was just an avalanche from there. It's like, well, we got to have the games, got to have one of the toys. You know, the Burger King tapes came along, and then we ended up getting a couple more tapes. Not too many, because I'm sure my parents were just like, well, it's on TV every week. You don't need more of these.
Yeah, and that was honestly it was the only tape that me and my brother had too, because we would watch it religiously Monday through Friday, and then when CBS got the rights to do it, we watched those Saturday mornings. We would rent a few of the tapes, but for the most part, we were pretty content with owning the movie and then a taped version of the sequel of Secret of the Ooze, and then the VHS tape that I got, and that's just what we would watch and whatever we caught on TV. But it was like you said, an avalanche is putting it politely, just the magnitude of, you know, it's...
Yeah, God, it was just like...
It was a magical time to be a kid. It really was.
Yeah, like, I had to have everything. There would be, like, the... Because I don't know if you did the same thing, but, like, you know, August rolls around and it's back to school, so, like, your parents will take you back to school shopping to get you new clothes. And it was always, like, my mom... God, I would spend like 2 hours just like trying on shit. And I think she felt bad enough some of the times. It was just like, well, hey, like, you pick out some things, because this is still a point, you know, kindergarten, first grade. Your mom's picking out all your clothes. I don't know. Did they pick out your clothes for you? When were you able to finally just be like, you know what? I'm wearing what I want.
I mean, as a kid, I did have, you know, because my parents, my mom especially, was aware of, I loved He-Man, loved Thundercats and Turtles and stuff. So she did buy me things that were, you know, like He-Man pajamas. I had a Thundercat Lion-O Mom-Ra t-shirt I was very proud of, Turtle stuff. And that was one of the perks. Like, she did pick out a lot of my school clothes, because she was big fond of, or really fond of Bugle Boy. Back in the 90s, that brand of clothing. God.
Yeah, Bugle Boy. Yeah. And then what is that? Oshkosh or whatever?
Oshkosh, yeah. I mean, it was... She was pretty heavy about that. However, I did manage, because I hated back to school stuff. It was just a great depression. The month of August was set. However, picking out my clothes, which is like, okay, I'll gladly go school shopping if I get to pick the t-shirts. You know, so if it had... You know, Bugs Bunny and the Tasmanian Devil playing basketball, or if it had like a cool alligator, you know, with muscles or something like that. I'm like, okay, I'll wear that. Or Wolverine and Jason from the Power Rangers on the same t-shirt, you know, if I could pick out stuff. And wearing turtle clothes was something that I, if I owned it as a kid, I would wear it proudly to school, or if I see all the kids. Yeah.
Yeah, no, same here. There would be oftentimes too, where I don't know if this happened to you either, but you go to school thinking like, oh yeah, I'm so excited about this. And then there's like three or four other kids wearing the exact same shirt. Cause I mean, that's just what it was at the time. Like everyone wanted to, all the kids wanted to just buy everything. So
yeah,
I remember having one of the shirts and going to school and like two or three other people had them. Did you ever have any of like the, you know how they used to, and they still make them, but like the matching kind of outfits, like here's like a turtle shirt, but also it came with a pair of shorts that like either the colors matched, or it's like the shorts had like a turtle design on it as well, or at least the logo or something.
The same year we got this, I'd gotten a light blue sweater with a really cool looking Leonardo art motif. And then my brother had gotten a matching set. I had never gotten a match. He got one of, it was a red kind of sweatsuit with kind of a more cartoonish look of the turtles eating pizza on the sweater. And then red sweatpants with a green turtle shell with turtles written on it. So he had that. I didn't have that, but I was trying to think of some of the other memorabilia we had. But probably shirt-wise, I didn't own as many of the cartoon stuff on shirts as I would have preferred, even though I did own some. Because it was more about the toys and stuff. And it made it easier getting clothes for birthday or Christmas if it had a cartoon character on it. You know, they gave me something with Virginia Tech on. I'm like, oh, this is great. Move on to the next one. You know, which that did happen, and that's on tape. Or on a transfer to DVD where I actually
I gotta watch that now.
Yeah. It's on the same tape as where I met Michelangelo at King Video.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I met Michelangelo, but I met him at I think it was Valley View Mall. And there's no video footage of mine though. It's just there's a picture that you know, you paid to have taken. I want to say you paid to have it taken, or either that or my dad was just up there with the camera. But yeah, no, that's awesome. I want to check, can you actually see this, just the, was it nice and fake, like you can tell in the instant that you were trying to be genuine and it just didn't come across that way?
No, it was genuine as hell. I mean, because there was excitement because my mom told me in advance that Michelangelo is going to be at King Video doing.
Oh, no, no. I wasn't talking about it. I was talking about when you got that that tech shirt or whatever.
Oh, no. There is no enthusiasm at all. It's.
No, I would hope that there would be enthusiasm when you're meeting Michelangelo. But no, I was talking about the tech shirt.
No, because this particular birthday, this is right before I went to go see the Ninja Turtles movies in theaters. It had just come out. So we're having a birthday, my actual birthday during the week, and then I was having a buddy party that Saturday where the big thing was we were going to go see the live-action Turtles movie. So I was getting some Turtle stuff for my birthday. Like I got I forgot what all I got. I got a Ninja Turtle nightlight and I think a watch. I think that's where I got the Batman figure from 1989 from Toy Biz, Beetlejuice figures. But it got down to where I'd gotten a gift from my aunt that was in a makeup box. I'm like, I ain't opening it. It's makeup. And all the other clothes I got, I think, had turtles on it of some kind. And then I opened this up. It was a white sweatsuit of Virginia Tech. And I just said, look. And then just set it aside. And that was it. It's on tape where I just say, look.
Now, did you have, like, your friends kind of around you, too?
No, this was just family. When I opened this, was just family. And then oddly enough, Jason Queen, you know, was at that party. was at the kids. Him and Justin Twine were at that kids party that I had where we went to go see Turtles.
No, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you could take that back now?
Yeah. And they destroyed my Deep Six G.I. Joe when they were playing around in the back seat. So I had a severed Deep Six figure. I'm like, son of a bitch, man.
The signs were already there.
Yeah, and I didn't hang out with those guys not too much longer after that because Jason went off to another school, and I never really saw Justin again until middle school. So
damn.
But
I want to watch that though. Look.
Yeah, yeah, it's all on the same tape. Yeah, it's embarrassing watching some of that footage because I act like a complete idiot because it was my birthday, so I'm like playing guitar with the seat cushion. I'm just like out of my mind.
I got a bit of a mullet in it too. I need to see this.
Yeah, I'm wearing like skinny jeans and a black shirt with Batman on it.
Oh man, so you were ahead of the curve on that too.
What do you mean?
No, oh, yeah, you're just ahead of the curve, ahead of the Hot Topic. Like you were wearing your skinny jeans.
Cool
Batman shirt. So.
Yeah, it was probably because I had real thin legs at the time too. So, but they look like acid wash skinny jeans when you watch the video.
Hell yeah, yeah. I'm watching that next time I come over to your place. I'm like, we're watching that video.
Yeah, I mean, I figured I'd show you that video of you meeting Michelangelo, but that was an exciting day. Jason Queen was with me that day too.
Jesus Christ.
I know, but you paid to have a VHS recording of your meet and greet with Michelangelo.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so that's what it was, and I would watch that periodically, I mean, frequently. And
I guess it makes sense, you know, King Video. Maybe that was an option too when I met him, and my parents were just like, no, that's too much money.
Well, it may have been, but just something that's what I can remember, that's what King Video was offering, is you meet and greet him, and then you purchase a copy of your meet and greet. So, and my brother, he was there, but he was too little to do it. And I guess my mom kind of felt like he might have gotten scared, but I think he was pretty enthralled like watching it. Yeah. But he didn't get his done. So it was just me and Jason went and got ours. Then we went and got pepperoni pizza afterwards.
Well, of course, because we have to do that.
Have to. And that was so much fun too about Turtles was I've often wondered if the pizza industry took a big extra hit with the popularity of Turtles and eating pizza.
I'm sure Pizza Hut did.
Yeah, Pizza Hut or Domino's. And,
between that and, like, their quality, because Pizza Hut sucks. But
no, they don't. They're the best. And you know.
No, pizza rankings, everybody. Domino's, and then we're just talking national chains.
Yeah,
so
not mom and pop stuff.
Mom and pop stuff. But Domino's number one. And number two and three, it always kind of fluctuates. Between like Little Caesars and Papa John's, and then at the very, very bottom is Pizza Hut because Pizza Hut's like it's too greasy, and most of the times when I eat it, I end up like getting the runs afterwards. So
yeah, but you get the runs after you eat a lot of stuff. I mean,
no.
Wendy's gives you stomach ache. Oh man, Wendy's.
No, no, but yeah, Pizza Hut's the worst. Like, no. I know I used to eat it a lot as a kid, and I was like, yeah, and then, you know.
Hey, they had the Book It program, plus the heartwarming baseball commercial on the Turtles VHS tape about playing right field.
Doesn't make their pizza any better.
The hell it does. It makes it the best of the best, man. Nothing beats their stuffed crust pizza. Nothing.
All right, I'll give you the stuffed crust, but I kind of think anything beyond that at this point is just, it's not good.
I love the thin crust because that's all I eat now because it just doesn't make you feel so bloated and stuffed with all the excessive sodium and things like that. So, yeah, like, oh, God. You know, I feel like Doug Funny when he's like ate too much in that one episode. He's like, hey, guys, what's cooking?
Yeah.
You know.
But I would like if Pizza Hut is around, like I'll eat it. But I'm just like.
Well, see, that's how I feel about Papa John's. Like I've never voluntarily eaten Papa John's, but if it's there. I'll eat it gladly.
Yeah.
It is good, but it's never, ever something I request.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. I changed my mind. I'd probably put Papa John's and Pizza Hut flipping back and forth at the bottom. Like the only reason Little Caesars is above them is like the price is cheap and like the taste of it. If you get it and it's mostly good because there is bad Little Caesars. I always find myself craving it. I'm just like, damn, I want some Little Caesars.
See, and to me, I think they're the greasiest pizza. It's good, but I think that's by far the greasiest pizza.
No, not as greasy as Pizza Hut.
No. Pizza Hut's number one. Then Domino's, then Little Caesars.
And then Papa John's.
Yeah, I guess bottom. Papa John's, yeah. Yeah. Them at the bottom.
But, all right.
But yes, we are here to do our Turtles commentary for the first episode, and I'll just count us down from three, and we'll just watch. I'm watching the DVD.
Oh, here's the thing, too. I forgot to put the link in the description. So when we're done with that, I will put the link in there to anyone, because we do have some viewers joining us live. Daily Motion, as always. Give that search.
It's on there.
Yeah, it's on there. Give the search for Turtle Tracks. Warning, though, there may be like quite a few ads because I know there's a couple different ones. There might be a ton of ads on one of them. I didn't check out any of the other ones, so I'll find the best link and put it in the description below for the people that join us after the fact. And
I think Turtle Tracks is on YouTube. Let me check real quick.
I think it may be in like parts or something. So apologies to the guys that are joining us live.
It's in parts. Like it's in, I think, two parts, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say your best bet's Daily Motion like we usually do. But
you don't own Turtles on DVD or hell even VHS like I've got over here on the shelf. You know, do yourself a favor, man. Go out and buy it right now.
Yep. Well, I think you can get those individual volumes for pretty cheap now.
Yeah, even the big Turtle Van collection.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind kind of upgrading to that and just because I still don't have all the individual releases.
Yeah, I don't have some of the last few. Just I think money because they would release them and I don't think I'd have enough money. And plus, as the series does go on, it's kind of dwindled for me in quality a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though there's a few episodes I've got, you know, kind of like a heavy roster filled episodes of like Scumbug and Anthrax and Chrome Dome and Ground Chuck and stuff like that. I think Ground Chuck showed up. But anyway. But yes, I'm using the DVD. Nathan's going to use some sort of bootleg he got probably.
No, I'm using the DVD as well.
All right. I'm going to count down from 3, 2, 1, play.
And of course, like with Batman the Animated Series, this intro is fucking classic.
God, this badass intro that it's such a serious. I like this with the catchy theme song, but the action the turtles are engaging in is very serious. Like this just blew my mind. Like my brain popped out of my skull when I watched this for the first time. It was such a like, what the hell is this? This is incredible. And it was just all this beautiful, and like everybody's taken so seriously. Like, you would never know that this is a show about, you know, hijinks at times because this is such a serious intro for the most part. I remember when I first saw this too, I never could quite figure out who the leader was, even though I just saw Leo as this bossy turtle as a kid.
It clearly says in the intro that Leonardo's the leader.
I know, but as a kid, I'm like, Leonardo leads. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I just didn't understand that, so to speak. But this intro to the crime situation in New York with April O'Neil's narration, with all these very interesting and odd looking, you know, juvenile delinquences and thugs and gangs.
There's Bebop.
Yeah, looking awesome. And I always liked the gang that Bebop and Rocksteady are running around with at first, you know, and this whole spray painting fad, which I guess still goes on, I guess. But I remember when we were kids that spray painting was real big on vandalism.
Yeah, no, I still see it on trains that pass by in town.
Yeah. And all the jokes that you're going to see with all the theft robbers, like this goofy looking guy, look at the hair in his face.
Yeah.
I thought all this was so serious. Like, I absolutely have no idea. And I like the voice. The character voice acting is really good here.
Well, that was the voice of Raph, wasn't it? That was doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, Rob Paulsen.
Yep. Who also, for those of you that don't know, which I don't know why most people wouldn't, but he also voiced Donatello in the newest incarnation.
And all this too here, like where he says, "Oh, clearly it's by ninjas because it's made in Japan." This rope, yeah, you know, that went over my head. I'm like, "Oh, wow, it does make sense." And it completely ignored the fact that they still let the security guard tied up and they're recording and everything. All that went over my head too. You know, it was just I was strictly about the action. You know, when we see Shredder laugh here in a moment, you know, tapping his blade
and
knuckle,
and there was Vern being a dick.
And he's a little bit more low-key. He's a dick here, but he's not the, oh, April. Not like he is, you know, later on in the show.
Right.
I'm not going to let sit around in the dead of the night.
Now, the funny thing about this is how Shredder just apparently has cameras everywhere in the entire city.
Well, I guess if you go along with the idea that he's using technology from Dimension X,
yeah.
the Foot Clan is stealing high tech scientific equipment for a variety of experiments and stuff.
You're right.
You could buy the fact that Shredder could have small cameras set.
It's just kind of funny.
Plus for storytelling, it helps tell that he is watching everything that's going on. Like from a storytelling perspective for a children's cartoon, I buy that. And from a logical standpoint, that's how I look at it with all the equipment he's been stealing. And I used to get kind of nervous and excited at the same time mentally when I would watch the scene as a kid when the gang's approaching April and she's trying to get out of there. And I look at manholes shaped like that and wonder, can people really slip down those things? Because April and, you know, clearly you can't, but she did it. And
I could probably slip under there.
Well, Nathan probably is the one of the few that could. I like Bebop's glasses. I always thought there was the kind of like small visor glasses.
Dude, do you remember like those, like, because I think Pizza Hut actually sold them too, like those crazy looking glasses.
Like I don't recall that.
Yeah, like for me, there was one that's like it had like swooshes like on the side. It was like red and green. And it, like, they're so outlandish, and I used to wear them all the time. I thought it was great.
I still get excited watching this. You know, sign all the time, April and Neil, like, chill out, homeboy. And all you see is the weapons and them in black. What a kick-ass introduction for our heroes. This was so exciting to me as a kid to watch this. God, I was so pumped. And yet, and they never really strike any of the guys with their weapons. This trick is just throwing them around and breaking their weapons and just kicking them around and stuff. So they do withhold some on some of the violence, but still it still works. And it never bothered me as a kid, like to know that Leonardo's not stabbing anybody and that Raph isn't, you know, impaling someone in the stomach. Like I bought everything, especially when they fight robots, as you see in the second part.
Yeah, I never would have thought any differently of it, you know.
Or in the foot soldiers, as we'll see later on, which that's arguably my favorite part is when Mikey realizes robots, let's rock, and just tears the trench coat off and leaps up in the air. Oh God, badass
man! I know we're gonna say it sooner or later, but man, like April is just hot. Like
I thought she was quite pretty, and she was a female that I really got behind as a kid, like. You know, I always thought, like, when anytime the Turtles would save her or they'd get a kiss from her, like in the video game, I'm like, oh man, they're so lucky. Like, I want a kiss from April. Because she just completed this package of these heroes that we would follow throughout the series, that she was such a core part of the cast here. And along with Ice Cream Pizza, which I don't know if I could try that. As being a fan of both, I don't know if I could take a slice of pizza and dip it in vanilla ice cream. But then again, too, I don't want to eat raw fish either.
Yeah, I've never been huge into sushi.
No, and I don't think I'll ever be. But all of this was so fascinating to me. Like their lair, like the sewer, is just in the backstory we get ready to see here in just a moment about, you know, Splinter's backstory and the Foot Clan and Hamatayoshi and Aurora, it was just all fascinating storylines that we're seeing here. It's old Japan here. Interesting. It would have been, you know, which I believe they've done in the current Turtle books, where Splinter takes control of the Foot after Shredder is killed. They try to use the Foot for good, much like how they're originally used here. And I've often wanted that shot where did Aurora just come in and just break Hamato's staff, because he's clearly sparring with somebody else. That just always confused me.
Yeah, this is kind of just kind of interesting too, just because, like, all right, he can't bow, and it's just immediately like, you're out of here.
Which, I mean, I as a kid, I bought it too. Like, and then they see he pulls a knife out, and it's probably just, of course, I thought these guys were such pricks. Like, how dare you talk to him like that? Plus, they had those little bows on their head. Throw the bomb out.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if he's the old wise man, clearly he should know that there's like two sides to the story. But, you know, I guess he's not as wise as they
apparently
think
not. That's why Shredder ends up taking over the Foot Clan. You got morons running it. I always thought the
person was so cute. Just like,
this is Nathan as a kid.
No, I was not clumsy like that.
All this Foot Clan stuff before there were robots. I remember wondering too as a kid when the movie came, like, how come they're not robots? But I figured it out pretty on like common sense. I'm like, okay, they probably just couldn't afford all the money to put together all these robots. Before I found out that originally, yes, the Foot Clan were supposed to be actual human beings as Foot Club or Foot Clan, not Foot Club.
Now, see, here's the other thing too. If it was me, I wouldn't walk into that ooze and just like pick them up out of there.
Well, I guess when they're only friends, you just grab me. I mean, because he attempts to clean them up.
Yeah. I guess he was just like, oh, this is a Windex or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like there's a rave stick goo or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah, that got dumped down the sewer. Pretty fast acting stuff, too. Did this, like, is you're getting this backstory? Because you see the backstory on the back of the cards, too.
I like how Raph's just like, hey, your mind of a steel trap, lady.
Yeah, just the constant smart ass.
That's why he's the best.
And I like this little montage here introducing the turtles and their weapons. This was just, it was just fun to see them use their weapons and get the full-on introduction of who everybody was. All this, I just thought was just really, really cool and to see them in action. Yeah, because for a while, I was a toss between Raph and Don as my favorites as a kid.
Did you hear that, though? No, no sword, not even Leonardo's sword, can match his size.
Yep. Well, that's, you know, Leonardo probably still beat him, though, regardless.
Nope.
He would. And you know what? I like he scowled at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That scowl. And with Leo having a sheath on his side there, that was something you didn't see too much, which I thought was just maybe something in the animation where, and here's Donnie's got Raph's voice here, which used to blow my mind as a kid. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I always like those little inconsistencies. Like, as a kid, I would pick them out and just like, oh, whoa, like you weren't supposed to see that or know that that happened or something. I always thought that was... Some people probably, like, laugh at it now, but I was like, it never bothered me.
It never took me out of it, but I realized, like, voices don't match up with something like Raph talking there. Channel 6. Can't help but think of Channel 6 and when Krang's android body grows to, like, Godzilla size and attacks New York. And everything here is pretty serious, too. Like, I mean, the storyline of April being missing, and there's jokes here and there, but they don't feel ham-fisted. You know, everything feels like it's just quick-witted writing. That's all thanks to David Wise, who wrote a lot of these episodes, who also worked on He-Man. I always thought their beds were cool too. Like later on in the second episode, they're all laying like a set of four bunk beds. Like, oh man, it looks so cozy. and it sucks too because when you watch a lot of these episodes too, like the animation of the turtles, oh, there's a Shredder for the first time, and depict it with great villainy. Such malice in his voice by Uncle Phil. His name escapes me. I hate that. I can never remember Uncle Phil's real name.
It kind of bums me out, though, that they kind of made him a little goofy as the show went on.
Well, of course. It sucks because everything in these first two episodes, everybody's portrayed seriously. There are some jokes here and there, but it doesn't kill. The tone in Shredder is depicted as by the seriousness you could possibly get. It is a shame that they just made him just a guy that slips and falls in mud, and that's the end of the Shredder. And
yeah,
you know, it's
James Avery, by the way, was the name that you were trying to look for.
Thank you. It was a shame when he passed away about a year or so ago.
Yeah, because he was doing the convention circuit, wasn't he? That would have been super cool to find a way to meet him.
I mean, well, hell, even Cam Clark, who does Leonardo, and Townsend Coleman, who does Michelangelo, Rob Paulsen, and then the actor who plays Donatello, he was on an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm playing a rabbi that gets his hand crushed by Larry David, which is funny as hell.
Now, when he's talking in that episode, could you just, the only thing you can think is Donatello? Well,
that's what drove me nuts. And I watched that episode for years because it was one of my favorites. I go, why the hell do I know that guy's voice, but I don't know his face?
Yeah.
And then I saw him do a, they were doing like an interview segment with a lot of the actors, like, what? Son of a bitch, it's the rabbi from Curb Enthusiasm.
Now, this is nuts right here. Old lady just pulls out a gun.
A machine gun at that, too. And as a kid, I thought she was a villain. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I mean, New York, man. New York in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense. You watch this with adult eyes. Everything you're seeing, it all makes sense. And
when it's people like dismiss... all night men's clothing, clearly it's probably a front for money laundering. So
yeah, and all they have in there is trench coats and fedoras. But, you know, for four turtles walking in trench coats, nobody says anything because it's New York. Everyone says, I mean, and how, like this Leonard immediately just coming out with aggression.
Yeah.
See, that sounds like something Raph would probably do, not Leonardo, but.
And I like how she gets them all mixed up, too.
Yeah, and I thought that was such great storytelling as a kid. Like, she keeps getting their names mixed. And then she gets pissed off by, I think, the third screw up. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Ghetto Blaster on the shoulder.
Yeah. And it just, them up on the top floor just asking all these questions about, you know, the standard of human life. I mean, she has to remember, too, that they're not used to this kind of stuff. I love this. Everything ninja, I thought was so cool as a kid. Like, ninja video, and I'm like, that's where I want to go. You know, what kind of videos they got there? Like, all, like, Revenge of the Ninja movies and canon films. And this pizza place I thought was cool. The music, I mean, it's just, gotta love this show. Welcome to Ninja Pizza. And they're just playing up that, and it's not really, I mean, obviously one of the cooks back there who's looking at the turtles right now is, you know, appears to be kind of in on or connected to the foot, at least the way they present it as if. But there's nothing that really connects them. But you kind of just make you wonder if all these businesses are fronts for the Shredder. Like all of those, you know, I mean, well, clearly he's got cameras right there. There's an answer to one of your questions. He probably owns a lot of businesses in that district as fronts.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that, like, maybe he just owns all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably does. I mean, God, I know the Shredder's got to be ungodly wealthy with running the Foot Clan in Japan and then brings them to America with all the theft. And, you know, much like in the first film, too, where they're stealing everything and building up this empire. All these, like, goofy looking. Look at this. This opera. Good grief, man. Boy, isn't she pretty? God. You can just tell she's evil. And the Foot Clan just wearing, you know, security, you know, hats on their head, and that's it.
I like how they're walking right there because it, like, you know,
looks like the toys almost.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, it looks exactly like how the figures are posed.
Oh, I thought this was scary as a kid. I'm like, oh my God, they got her. Three of them.
Then you had to wait for commercial break.
Yeah, you're like, no. But see, I watched it always on VHS. So,
in the
first two episodes, they played seamless, like one big episode. So, I was quite used to watching these as one episode as opposed to two episodes. All right, man, we're on the run here.
It's April's wallet.
And over there, some chewing gum. Like, you've all only, the shadowing on
you've
the
only known her for like 8 hours. Like, how do you know what that gum looks like?
Now, these guys are good. Oh boy, here we come from one of the most action-oriented sequences ever, man. Yep, it's a track. Oh man, here we go. Them in trench coats with the weapons pulled out is badass, isn't
it? Yeah.
Oh man, now I feel like playing the arcade game with you, dude. God, I'm pumped. Clang? Oh man. They realize they're robots. This is the way I said we can kick ass now.
Yeah. That's such a good shot right there.
God, it's awesome. Oh, man, I'm getting goosebumps watching this. And Donatello goes and just kicks all their asses.
explosions everywhere. Yeah. Just disintegrating into dust.
Just like, what the hell is this? And knowing that he recognizes the foot technique and everything, I like that consistency that, you know, when he sees them, he recognizes their style. Gosh, the foot soldiers look so menacing in this, too.
Yeah.
You know, I look at them as, like, very serious, even though they dismantle them as cannon fodder, so to speak, but they still look like someone that you were like, would not never be happy to see.
How many foot soldier figures did you have as a kid? I only had one.
Oh, God. I only had one, too.
It's such a bummer,
sucked,
right?
Man. It sucked. It's just one, and so many great toy lines had army builders, and it was just one of those things that I never owned a Horde Trooper as a kid. I only owned, if I had any G.I. Joe slash, you know, kind of Cobra infantry characters, whoever it was always just one foot soldier. Excuse me. It was just.
This scene always reminds me of the arcade game in a way. You know?
Oh, yeah. I always think of the arcade. Yeah. This a lot makes me think of the arcade game.
Especially like this hallway, too. It makes me think of like that first level.
Yeah. And I felt like that first game really took a lot of nods to this show, and it just, you know, because I mean they used the look of everything that was popular, I mean, from Baxter Stockman and the Rock Warriors, and you know, Shredder and Krang and Baxter Stockman and his I've already said Baxter. Well, Rockstar and Bebop, everything looks so much like the cartoon. Because I mean, this some people like when they think of toy lines and toys, they always look towards a particular cartoon. I mean, God, and I'd say the cartoon probably.
This music's awesome too. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it is. All this music is awesome. It's serious music. Like you don't feel like this is a candy coated adventure. Like April's wore out. You know, they leave her, and I was just gonna flood the entire building. I mean, that's nuts. Just like self destructed. Like that's how much Shredder fears these guys. Let's just kill them all right now. Oh, so this was such an intimidating thing. How are they going to get out of here, man?
I mean, I guess, you know, turns out it's a good thing they're turtles.
Yeah. Yeah, we're turtles. Yeah, but she's not.
Where was Leo there, huh? Huh? Raph's coming in to save the day.
Well, see, as a kid, I've been all about that because I was more prone to downright. So I support you in your statement there. Because my favorite Leo is from the movie. I'm sorry, just kind of going blank. You just watch you all the action here.
I mean, it's bound to happen anytime.
Yeah. I look forward to, you know, tackling episode 2 and meet Casey Jones and Leatherhead and the Rat King episodes. And I mean, it's just so many excellent episodes I just can't wait for us to tackle.
And we definitely, I don't know what your thoughts on are, but I want to watch that one where Michelangelo and Shredder switch places.
God, I haven't watched that one in a long, I remember watching that one on TV, and I remember enjoying it on TV, but man, I'm almost afraid to rewatch that one. I'll have to do that just for argument's sake. But this is it's pretty interesting too, you know, for because, you know, most children's cartoons would not do this, and they did this with Thundercats too, where like the very first episode, the heroes don't meet the initial villain. You know, you're given hints of him in this episode, but they won't actually confront the Shredder to the second episode, and you know, it's a ballsy thing, you know. Of course, as a kid when I watched both episodes back to back, I saw it as like one big thing, and like, okay, so they meet the Shredder in the first episode. But
and there's Larry Houston again. Storyboard
works. Yeah, worked on this as well. Which we're in the works of getting Larry, as this is closing down here, to let people know. Larry has agreed to come and do some commentaries with us for the X-Men animated series. And I'm hoping maybe even the Pride of the X-Men pilot, since that's such a novelty for me, you know, just because it was a pilot, it was one shot, and that's it. I'd love to know more about that and everything that Larry did on the his X-Men series as well, from Night of the Sentinels and the Juggernaut and the final Decision and Days of Future Past and The Cure. you know, all, I mean, all the characters. Like, we look forward to getting as many episodes as we can with him. Hopefully he'll want to come back and do more. But hopefully that'll be either next weekend or the following weekend. That's what Larry has talked to us about, doing some X-Men commentaries with us. And hopefully he'll want to do more with us.
Yeah, no, that, he's worked on so many things. That would just be exciting just to imagine we can do the countdown, start the episode, and just let him talk through the whole thing, yeah, and we can just interject.
And I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't need to say anything. This is Larry's time to educate us on these shows that we cherish as kids. So that's what I would just introduce him and say, go and just have at it, Larry. Like, we're not going to interfere or anything like that. I just want to learn as much as he can give us. So hopefully we'll have that lined up for our listeners next week or the following weekend. And if for some reason Larry can't make it for next weekend, do you want to do episode 2 of Turtles, or you want to do another?
No, that's fine.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Now, if Larry can't make it, we'll do Meet the Shredder or Enter the Shredder in the next week's episode if Larry can't show up. Then after Larry's run, that's what we'll come back and do some more Turtles and do the second episode then for our listeners then. So if this is your first episode, we've done five other episodes. They're available on YouTube. They're available on Podbean. We post them on all our Facebook pages as well. If you have ideas of what you'd like us to do, like a series, you know, we want to keep it more 80/90s superhero shows. You know, I definitely wouldn't mind doing some G.I. Joe, since Marvel did work on G.I. Joe in animation and comic books. So I think we can get away with that. You know, from animated series, X-Men, Justice League, Superman, Spider-Man, whether it's the 80s solo series, The Amazing Friends, or even the 90s series. You know, if you got an idea you want us to do, you know, let us know.
Look at you doing the outro thing.
Well, no, I was just, I didn't intend to do that. It was just like, just,
oh, no, you're good, man.
Yeah. All right, well, anything else you want to say before
we... No, I want to thank the people that joined us live. I see that Jake Juggalo and JSP are in the chat. JSP also brought up, too, that Pizza Hut gave him food poisoning. So that's why it's at the bottom.
Yeah, well, Pizza Hut gave me Book It, and I get free personal pan pizzas for reading my books. So you guys may have greasy-ass pizza and stomach problems, but I've got Book It and Land Before Time hand puppets.
Oh, dude, those were awesome. And also,
those were badass, man.
Did you have the Eureka's Castle, any of that stuff when that came out? Because I got some of those puppets, too.
No, I wasn't too much of a fan of that show. I only watched it because it was on, and my brother used to love to watch it. So
I thought it was okay. I got a couple of the puppets. But, yeah, the Land Before Time ones were awesome.
Oh, yeah, I had all of them. I had every single one. That was one of the Happy Meal / toy sets that I did manage to get all of as a kid. Because some of one or two would elude me, but that was one that I did get all of them. Sarah, Spike, Ducky, Petrie, Littlefoot, and yeah, it's all of them. Yeah, I had all of them.
Yeah, I think
they were fun to play with.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't think that it would be like super fantastic because it's just a hand puppet, but.
But they were detailed. They were full on like sculpts of the dinosaurs. You just put your hand up their butt, and
you know. Like, yeah, this is fun.
This is fun. I'm Ducky. Yep, yep, yep. And,
yeah. Well, it's like it was like with the thumb wrestling wrestlers. I had Hulk. I had like Hogan and it was either Big John Studd or like Hillbilly Jim or something. I was like, yeah, this is great, and it's just fucking.
Well, I never played with those as thumb wrestlers, like because I just never thought I could, because I was you know only child at the time when I had them. Like, this is not much fun. So I would hold them like G.I. Joes or He-Man figures, and just move their fists to punch and kick and stuff. So I never used them the way they were intended to be, but I had a pretty good selection of those, except Hogan. God, I never had Hogan from LGN. Period. Not the large scale and not the thumb wrestler, but I had a bunch of others.
I had both.
Oh, God. That was one I just wanted so... I remember when my dad came home with the wrestling ring. I did have the LGN wrestling ring. And had
which poster. Was super cool.
Yeah. It was, and it came with a poster, a checklist poster of all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And looking at that, I'm like, oh, man, I want Hogan. And then I wanted guys like Corporal Kirshner. And, you know, I want a Junkyard Dog because he looked so badass, like the large scale with the chain around his neck. God, it was just... There were so many cool characters. Like, oh, man, I want Mean Gene. And... You know, that's a topic for Beyond Retro, possibly. That the LGN wrestlers, just how awesome those toys were, or just wrestling toys in general. Except anything past the Hasbro line, because I'm sorry, you know, Jax did the cool real scan stuff with, you know, Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Rock, and stuff like that. They all look great, but nothing's going to compare to the magic of LGN and Hasbro's WWF lines, where they look like just big, colorful, you know, characters, and with the Hulkster slam, the Hulkster hug, you know, Ultimate Warrior doing his jump off the turnbuckle. You know, you got Akeem, the African Dream, with his, like, chest thump. And
see, I never had the Hasbro ring.
Or no, what? I did have the Hasbro. I got it as a handmade, or one of my buddies from school didn't want it anymore, so he traded it to me.
Yeah, I used the WCW ring with, I want to say it was Galoob WCW figures. I had that ring, so I just, like, used all those guys. So I was having my own dream matches. I would have, like, Sting and Hogan, like, tag teaming together and...
Awesome stuff, yeah, man.
But I was also very careful when I played with those, because I was like, I never wanted to like scratch them up.
Yeah, I didn't do that either. I was gentle, man. I did my own sound effects, and I would just talk in my mind. I'm not talking out loud. I will beat you. And acting like, no, I didn't do that. It was just.
Yeah, that's something that we need to kind of talk about a little more too, because I feel like the three of us. We're kind of the same way with our toys. Like, we bought them and we played with them, but we were careful enough because even as a kid, I would just display them. And, you know, like...
I would hear stories from kids at school that would probably tell you how destructive they were with their toys, like burying them in the dirt. Oh, yeah, man. I took my Serpentor fresh out of the box. It buried him in the dirt so he could rise from the grave, and it was great. But then I forgot all about him, so I took my BB gun and started firing holes in the ground because I'm just a crazy kid. You know, just you hear stuff like that, like, oh God, you're a monster.
But yeah, we'll have to talk about that on Retro. Speaking of Beyond Retro, here in about half hour, we're going to be jumping into an episode. We're going to be talking about the Goonies. So those of you joining us live, give us about half hour and we should be going. Hopefully we have Joe with us.
And if not, he'll join us at some point.
We'll see how that goes.
If you're listening to this, we do Beyond Retro, and we also do a Fans of Power podcast that's all dedicated to He-Man and She-Ra. So if you like hearing what we have to say, we do three shows a week. So you get three doses of me and Joe and two doses of me and Nasty Nate. So let us know if you enjoy it and what we can do for you. So until next time, we'll
catch you next week.
Next week.